want you to understand is he's helping us to understand how you go through it. Are you interested in knowing how to be happy in the midst of a hellish situation? Paul, listen, is in the valley, but he's speaking like he's on the mountaintop. Paul is in the midst of a torrential downpour in a storm, but he's speaking like it's a sunshiny day. He's on the bottom, but he's speaking like he's on top. Will you let me help you this morning? I don't care what your issues are. You've got to learn, you've got the ability to think yourself happy. Not when you get out of it, but while you're still going through it. See, some of you sitting there with a long face right now trying to listen at what I'm trying to say, because you're not getting this. You're still focusing on your sorrows, and you're still focusing on your losses, and you're still letting the devil beat you up. But I got news for you. You don't have to leave your situation the way it is. You can rise above it by beginning to think thoughts that lift you beyond your present place. Here's my first point. I want you to write it down if you can. Paul didn't focus, listen, on the faults. His trial did not focus on his faults. It focused on his faith. Now, I just said something now, because I want you to understand he's in the fight of his life, and it's not about his faults. It's about his faith. Well, see, what I'm trying to help somebody to understand is some of the greatest trials you're going to ever come against, or that's ever going to come against you, won't be because of your faults. It's going to be because of your faith. Listen, you say you're a child of God. You say that God is with you. God is for you. You say you're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a light in the dark world. The devil's gonna make you prove it. And a lot of stuff the devil's gonna bring against you, it won't be because of your faults. Yes, there will be some times you're gonna have great trials because of your faults, because you did the wrong thing, made the wrong choice, went the wrong way, acted the wrong way, did all of these things that brought all that on you. But your greatest trials will not be because of your fault as a believer. It'll be because of your faith, who you are, and who you are to God. Job's greatest trial didn't come because he did anything wrong. The Bible said he was the most righteous man. He hated, escheweth evil. He did everything right, and yet he lost everything he had but his life. Listen at me well. Because he was on trial for his faith. I've thrown out to you many times before, what you go through isn't always for you. Sometimes what you go through is for others to see you, so that God can show this world and show other believers that he's got some people who are faithful, who will go through it trusting him, leaning and depending on him, and he'll bring them out winners every time. So his focus was not on his faults, his focus was on his faith. That's what his trial was all about. Point number two, if you're going to think yourself happy in your worst situations, here's what you've got to understand. Don't focus on your offenses. Focus on your opportunities. Did you hear what I just said? You see, there are some There are some believers who become offended when they've got to go through some things, and they wonder why they've had to go through them, and they wonder why this is happening to me, and they wonder why God permitted this to happen, and they wonder what have they done, and what was this and what was that, and they become offended that they who walk right, talk right, live right, tithe right, pray right, give right, work on this board, work with that committee, volunteer their time, do that. All of this stuff is happening to them. They feel like they have been made ashamed because they're going through things which they have thought that only sinners go through. You do remember Job's friends thought that the reason he was going through that because he had some hidden sins, don't you? Yes. So listen at this. Paul didn't focus on his offenses, but he focused on his opportunity. Now, I can't help you if you won't hear me today. Every offense that the enemy brings against you is not really about you, but about the God you serve. And the easiest way for him to try and get at God is to mess with you, because God loves you so much. And you got to realize that Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And so when you begin to understand that this thing that you're dealing with many times is because of the team you're on, you're on the winning team. The enemy is mad because you made the right choice to be a child of the king, to be a member of the royal family, to be the one that the Lord God uses in this earth realm to do his will. And so offenses will come. That's why you got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to know what you're messing with. You got to know what's around you. You got to recognize that every time you attempt to do good, Paul says, evil is always present. Don't think you got time to let your guards down, because the moment you let your guards down, you will be hit without you even knowing it until you're hurt. And you wonder why, because listen to what the devil does. He does not play fair. He'll use whomever he uses to get to you who's closest to you. He doesn't always use the people you think he's going to use. Oh, yeah, he'll use them, but he's got some closer to you that you never expect, that you never suspect. And those are the ones who will take you out. Am I listening? Anybody listening to me? Am I talking to somebody who's listening? Listen at this. So you've got to learn how not to focus on your offenses, but on your opportunities. I called a very good friend of mine the other day named Frank, and I said, Frank, how are you doing, man? He said, Doc, but God. That's his saying, but God. I said, amen, brother, but God. And that's how he's very excited, very positive, very highly charged and everything. I said, man, what were you doing? He said, man, I've been around here helping people, rescuing people, saving people in boats and stuff all night and early in the morning. He said, Doc, he said, I would have called to check on you. He said, but I was helping somebody get in the boat, and I slipped and went under the water in a hole. He said, and my phone was in my pocket, and it got wet. And that thing wouldn't act right no more, so I had to order me a phone, and it just came in the other day. He said, and I had your number programmed in my phone with all my other numbers, so I didn't have any numbers, because you know how we depend on the phones. And he said, so I had to wait till people call me to lock their number in my phone again. He said, "Doc," he said, "so I'm just, you know, I'm excited to hear, you know, how you made it." I said, wait, let's just talk about you right now." I said, "I did good, bless the Lord." He said, "But God, Doc, but God." He said, I said, "Well, man, how did you fare?" He said, "Doc, we lost everything." He said, "All of the mementos, all of the precious things, all of the stuff that we, you know, we consider to be treasures in this life." He says the second time. He said, "You know, I lost everything in Katrina and then moved to Baton Rouge. And here 11 years later, I've lost everything again." He said, "But Doc, it's all good." He said, "But God, Doc." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But man, how, tell me now, this is me, how do you feel?" He said, "Doc," he said, "I see nothing but sunshine and opportunity." And to myself, I said, "I wonder what he's on. Or has he cracked under the pressure?" And the Spirit had to shake me right quick and bring me back into reality. That's the kind of response every believer, every victor ought to have. He said, "Doc, it's an opportunity for me to come back bigger, stronger, better, that God will upgrade me and give me more than what I had." He said, "Doc, I see nothing but sunshine and opportunity." And when I got through talking to him, I had to say, "Lord, increase my faith." Don't focus on your offenses, focus on your opportunity.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you, and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
For my way, you're the...
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
have called on the Lord like I did. Until they just stayed right there and called until you got hooked. Anybody been hooked on Jesus? Why don't you come on, put your hand together. Listen to me if you please. It ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to try
it sometime.
No, 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 it ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to
try it sometime.
You need to get hooked on a high that will never let you down. Can I say it again? It ain't no
talking. Decided that he was going place called Joppa. Then he went on down to the shipyard. He went on down to the ticket office and got him a ticket. And he was on his way to a place called Tosh. Then he went on down on the bottom deck, got over in the corner and went fast asleep. But what he didn't know, when he laid down, God was looking right at him. God was looking at him. But God didn't bother him. All God did was he called the wind and he told the wind, I want you to blow. And he told the thunder, I want you to roll. And he told the lightning, I want you to flash. And he told the tide, stand up real high. Cause I've got a child that's trying to run and think he can hide. And about that time, the captain came around and told the crew member, pull all the anchor. We gotta get ready and set for sail. And then they tell me, thunder started to roll, lightning started to flash, tide stood up high, and the wind began to blow. Captain got confused, told all his crew members, out of all the time we made this journey, we ain't never had trouble before. And then he told all the crew members, come on the top deck. And then he asked them, tell me who is your God? Who is your God? Whoever your God is, I want you to call him. And about that time, another man came and said, wait a minute, Captain, there's one more man. And he's downstairs, he's over in the corner, and he's fast asleep. Captain said, let me go down, I'll see about him. Captain walked over and shook old man Jonah. And Jonah stood up, and the captain asked him, how can you sleep and we in a storm?